defenders, the ball goes both times for corner. The players are not getting what they deserve. I'm the responsible, the only responsible. Don't touch them, touch me. But I'm not unhappy with them. I'm completely in their side.
Yeah, this awful boy that comes with 18 years to Manchester. It's a very difficult. And then next season, second season, he plays fantastic. And then it happens like this.
Hello and welcome to Where Was The Shout? I'm Mark Harlaw, joined by just Rob Runciman.
Hello.
This week, Zach is away in New York. This week we're going to talk about last week's results, Champions League included, Luke Shaw's injury. We're also going to discuss a little bit about the Olympic Stadium. And I know we're West Ham fans, Rob, but you know.
Might be too biased.
Might be a little bit biased, but we're going to give it a go. Also, Arsenal, season so far, and of course, our Super 6 predictions. Right, starting off, Rob. How are you, mate? You're right.
Very well, mate.
It's just us. It
seems
it's
very
weird.
Strange, just me and you.
It's like someone's died, isn't it? It's weird, isn't it?
It's
that. He's in New York, isn't he? Doing some music out there, or whatever he's doing. Yeah. I don't know what he's doing. Touring America.
It's,
or something.
It just feels very different not sitting underneath his underwear
and his cat attacking us or
in
something.
His garden,
yeah.
Mate. Yeah.
It's been. How you been there? You been okay?
Very well, mate.
What have you been up to today? Anything exciting?
Not too much today, mate. But recently, we can talk about, aren't we?
I can't believe we haven't talked about this.
Mate. Bit non-league scouting.
So essentially, what we're talking about, we're actually talking with a man that's actually professionally involved in football now.
Well,
that's really what we're saying, because you get paid for what you do.
Yeah, I do, yeah. Not a lot. It's just like a part-time
But it's
thing,
fantastic,
but,
though.
Yeah, it's just basically back in May.
Yeah,
I was just following a few guys on Twitter, like coaches and non-league football.
Yeah,
and one of them runs an opposition scout agency.
Mm.
And yeah.
You don't start wearing that hat, do you?
I did actually. Yeah, I did.
For the people that obviously can't see, but Rob's wearing a very charming.
I turned up. Basically, he had this seminar going on. It was just £20, and I thought, oh, well, I'll turn up and have a little listen to that.
Yeah,
and I turned up there. And it was really good. Did a couple of reports, just to test it out.
Yeah.
And he sort of employed me.
Amazing.
So I worked for.
I'm so pleased with
that.
I feel like inferior now. You know, I'm not involved in football anyway. You know, and now I just feel like I'm with a professional. And
mate,
also, you show me your report.
Opinions, you know.
So. You show me your report that you draw up, and like for people that don't know about this, because I didn't, the depth you go into.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Like
it
a lot of work.
Takes time, it's like some of like 20 pages worth, you know.
It's unbelievable.
And
this is prepping for a game, isn't it? For a match, they might say to you, right, go and look at an opponent.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, I've got a good game a few weeks ago in preparation for someone's FA Cup game.
Yeah.
Went to go and watch the opposition that they were going to play in the FA Cup, so the week before, then send the reports to them, you know, it's all.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'm so pleased for you. Well done.
It's good as well to get to know about non league football. I mean, obviously, I've known. Premier League and leagues around Europe, but you know,
not the lower leagues. I know no more than Premier League. I don't know a lot about that. You know what I mean? I'm blagging it. I'm hoping you can fill in the holes. But anyway, on to the show. I mean, we have to talk about last week's results, I think, to kick off with. It's been a really bizarre start for Chelsea.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. They're 17th in the league.
Yeah.
They go to Everton, lose 3-1. I watched the game.
Mm.
Did you see the game?
Yeah, I did see it, yeah.
And, I mean, okay, Everton is notoriously a very tough ground to go. Goodison Park's a tough place to go, especially with that crowd. Once they're up against a big side, it's not only do they have a 12th man, it's like a 13th. They are absolutely...
Yeah.
And the teams get rattled
easily. Most places are hard to go.
I think Everton's notoriously tough. Like, they always seem against the big boys. They are the giant killers, aren't they? They always seem to be every year. They always seem to batter the big teams.
They always get a few decent results.
They do.
Yeah. Boys.
I used to think West Ham used to be a bit like that, but we seem to not so much.
Last year.
That's a good point. Yeah, last year we did.
But I think there's something gone wrong in the background with Chelsea at the moment. I think it started off when he sort of let the players come back late from pre-season, gave them a rest.
Yeah.
You know, start off with that. So a bit of complacency, I think, set in from that.
Yeah.
Then you had the whole thing with the physio.
Well,
I think that's upset people.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we talked about it before, but
no
rightly
doubt
so.
The players, or maybe their wives, I heard, got a bit upset about that.
Mm.
You know, so.
The wags.
And then
don't upset the wags, mate. Don't upset the fucking wags.
We've seen that before, haven't we?
Yeah.
And then he took off John Terry, I think, midway through the second half of a game.
That's right. And he's never been subbed, ever, under Mourinho.
I'm not saying that's a terrible decision. Mm. I mean, he wasn't playing well, but it's a big thing. It's a big statement to make as well, right?
But so he's a man of big statements, Mourinho. He's always been like yeah. that. He's not scared to cut people. It doesn't matter who your name on the back of your shirt is.
And he shouldn't be as a manager. No. You shouldn't.
Like Ferguson but was the same.
I think there's some upset there. And also, I mean, he's changing the defence every week, the central defence.
Which like, is, and all right, and you know, you look at there. Chelsea last season, they were, no doubt, they were champions. They're the best team in the country by a country mile.
Yeah, yeah,
like, definitely. We're so solid. How can it go so back? Oh, I'm not saying that they are going to be competing for the title, obviously. But to be 11 points adrift at game 5. Mm. 11 points. I mean, Man City, all right, they are going to have their little slips, but they are ruthless this season. They've got a lot to prove. They're really hungry. I know they've slipped up in mid, you know, the Champions League. But
yeah, I mean, it's not over yet because, like you said, you know, it's going to be slip-ups from other teams. Mm. But, I mean, I don't think Chelsea can lose more than one or two games if they're going to challenge for the title.
They've lost three. They've lost three now.
You can't lose
You really can lose about five all season. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the most they can lose. They've already lost the majority.
But they're the sort of side that can sort it out. I mean, last year, people were talking about them going unbeaten, and they were up until about Christmas, wasn't it?
That's correct,
And they suddenly lost a couple.
That's right,
They're capable of that. They've got the same players.
But also, don't forget, this weekend, they've got, I know we'll come on to this later on, but they've got Arsenal away.
Yeah, massive. Now.
And that is, Arsenal at home, I apologise, at Stamford Bridge. Yeah. And Arsenal, all right, I know they had a bad result in the midweek, definitely, but that's just, we'll talk about it again. But I'll tell you what, they are up against it, because Chelsea are nervous, no debate about it. I mean, all right, they got a good result midweek with the Champions League 4-0 win, but they, you know, let's be honest, they were going to win that match. It was unlikely they were going to struggle. They've won 4-0, fantastic. But they're back now, because they had no pressure on them then. We're back to 0 points. And it's a little bit of, they've got a game on tomorrow morning, or 12 o'clock, against Arsenal. And they're going to be up against it. Arsenal are going to know that they are going to be nervous.
Huge pressure. And also, Arsenal, they have finally beat Mourinho, didn't they, in the Community Shield.
Yeah,
So he's got that off his back now.
Yeah,
well,
so this is going to be such an exciting weekend. Because if Chelsea lose that game, I think the title race is over. I genuinely think it.
I think we can say that if they lose.
If they lose four games, they'll have opened six when they're out. I think they're out of the game.
I think that's a huge 14 points to make up.
I mean, come on, 14 points. I mean, it's going to have to take a collapse from City. And let's hope they do, because they've got us. So. other games as well, we'll just touch on. Man United beating Liverpool. Did you see that one?
I did see that. I thought the way Liverpool set their stall out was appalling, actually.
Yeah.
Well, it was, because, I mean, I'm not saying go to Man United and be gung-ho, but Liverpool got results there in the past from right back against them. And I thought they played into their hands. I mean, they made a couple of chances sort of in the second half due to
United's under the spotlight, Rodgers, isn't he? He's under the spotlight.
I don't know what he's done there, because I really rated the guy, right? The tactics I thought were brilliant at times last year when they were struggling. He changed the back three and he started getting results, and he had signed some like really good players. But suddenly, he had a good style of play. But suddenly, that style of play is not there anymore.
I do feel though for managers, because you were talking about Rodgers, and I do feel for him because I think he is a good manager. I mean, all right, his tactics, you're right, were appallingly wrong. Can't have a lone striker against United. You know, you've got to go for it. And also, United aren't a strong defence. Their defence is not that strong as it used to be. It's nowhere near the level it is. It's not a top.
But you've got to go and have a go.
Because they're there for the rat. Old Trafford's not what it used to be.
No,
It's there for the take. You know, not for the taking, but you know, give it a go. You know, we're going to Man City this week. We're going to give it a go. You know, for it. Why not? What have you got to lose?
When you're Liverpool, you've got to go.
Go for it. You know, and against a bitter rival. You know, just to sit back and try and catch him on the counter, it just doesn't work. You know, I watched it, I thought they were rubbish. But my point was, I do feel for managers, because we always say, like you just said the phrase, his signings, which is obviously what we associate managers with. But you do feel sometimes it's not their signings, is it? They give them the list, that's what I want. They go, they make some inquiries. Because even apparently in Steven Gerrard's book, which got released, he said that when they signed Balotelli last season, Roger said, I had a list of strikers and he was the bottom one. You know, and then Liverpool went, but, we've got to take the gamble.
If any signs Balotelli, who I still think is a top player, I know you can't
say. You love him, didn't you?
Because
you love a bit of Mario.
You can't play Balotelli up front on his own.
No.
And he started doing that. Balotelli, when I watched Balotelli play for Italy and play for AC Milan and went before Man City, he played well as part of a two up front.
Yeah.
Right? In whatever formation.
Yeah.
Right? Because he likes to drift around the pitch and he won't work hard for you. He won't do that, but the guy got some serious ability.
You
have to sacrifice a lot to have him in there, but you can't play him up front on his own. That's what Liverpool did last year. I mean, they're never going to get the best out of him. I know Balotelli's a pain in the arse, no doubt about it. But old why Mario. Sign him and play him up front on his
Your
own?
Best mate, Mario.
Watched him the other night, by the way, for AC Milan. It's in that he came in was superb.
Really?
Really, I like it. Had two shots.
Well, he's got to get his act together, hasn't he?
Hit the post with one shot from that from nowhere. Another great chance. Yeah. Shot. I mean, I know it's only about 25 minutes of football, but I bet he does the business over there.
Well, nice to see him do all right,
wouldn't it? And the thing with Rodgers, just to finish on that, is that he's made these signings and he hasn't really backed them. Markovic is another one.
Well, let's be honest, the only player Liverpool have got...
And sent him back on loan somewhere.
There's only one player Liverpool got you could generally say is, oh, all right, Henderson's a good player, but he's not world-class. He's a good player. He's not magical. He ain't going to win your games.
Good player.
He's a Mark Noble. He's not going to set the world alight, but he'll do you a good turn, but he ain't going to score actually. You've got Coutinho, who is the best player at Liverpool by far. I mean, Benteke's got it, but he's got it when he fancies it.
He's a top player.
He's a Paul Merson, you know. I'll show up 1 week, and next 3 weeks I won't. Other games as well this week was Palace, Man City. Man City won it 1-0. I don't think it was much of a surprise Man City won, because I mean they've not conceded a goal though again.
Very hard place to go at the moment as well. I think it will be for the whole season as it was last year.
Well, Pardew's
really
got to go
down there.
It's an odd, tight ground. The fans are on top of the earth. It's our place to
And
know.
They've got a good side, Palace.
And they nicked it in the 90th minute. Well, 89th minute. It was a real nick. But that's the side of a good team.
Great result for them.
Yeah. You know, really and they did deserve it. I mean, although Palace did put in a good show, but I think they deserved it. I mean, it was... But good on City, you know. It's nice to see they're giving it a real go this season.
That's exactly a sort of win that champions get. When they're not quite at the races.
Yeah.
They've gone to a place that's really difficult and they've come away and nicked it later on.
Yeah.
You know, it's signs
are
looking good for them, aren't they?
They are looking good.
It's early days.
It is. I mean, and also, you know, we slagged off Chelsea. We slagged them off. We're just stating the facts. But, you know, and I'm sure they will come back. And I know they will come back. Of course they're going to be competing for the title. But they are in trouble. But, you know, but with Man City, you've got to say, they've really started it well. The other game as well, which is the team I said earlier, straight away against the season, I think they're going to go down. I still stand by it. I think Aston Villa are in massive trouble. I just don't rate. I like Sherwood now. I've changed my opinion of the man. I think he says it as it is, but I think they're a naive team. I think they are. I think they're underprepared for games. All right, they were 2-0 up against Leicester.
His tactics are shocking at 2-0.
2-0 up.
You see the subs? Did you watch it?
No, I haven't seen the subs. I didn't see that. But I've only seen the highlights. I've only seen bits of highlights. I haven't seen the full game. I don't know what happened. So come on, fill me in.
They were cruising 2-0 up.
He didn't bring a Balotelli, did he?
He brought on a guy called Ayu, not the Swansea
me,
Ayu, obviously.
You? Me and
Ayu?
Me and you?
Ayu?
Me and you? I definitely get the
Jordan goal. Ayu.
That'd be, yes.
He's a striker. He brought him on for a midfield player when they not for midfield players, light for light, but he's a more attacking player than when they took off. Can't remember who it was now. I was thinking, oh, that's a bit risky. Sure, at 2-0,
you're just
going to, you know, on a defensive player, make sure you hold on to what you got. He made a couple of substitutions where sort of giving a couple of guys a run out, see what they're like, and I thought you're taking a risk here. And when Leicester got that one back, they're
and he
all
slapped
over
off
them.
The players,
he couldn't,
you know?
He couldn't do anything about it. And they're
such
naive
substitutions. Leicester are up, the towers are up massively in this league, and no more.
Great comeback though.
Oh, fantastic comeback! But I mean, and credit to Ranieri and Leicester. Well done. Like, I mean, what result? How can you be? But 2-0 up, 20 minutes to go in a Premier League game, and you can see 3 goals.
He makes 2 substitutions.
But why? Then why? So
I think he obviously felt
I'll
the game going. Right. You want to give
and
a couple of
players. I'll
a
tell run you then. What. You know, I've watched West Ham go down now a couple of times in my life. I've seen relegation, obviously, every season. There are games that really kick you in the balls. And, like, sometimes it can do a reaction the other way. It can make you go in the track and go, right, we're going to sort ourselves out here. I just don't rate Villa. I just don't rate him. I think they're in trouble with Sherwood. I think he's totally inexperienced. I think he's naive to this level.
And also, they've obviously got no money as well.
No money. They should have money. They were selling Benteke. You'd think they'd have a bit of money, but they don't seem to be spending any. There's clubs for sale, which is always a massive problem. It's just, you know.
Yeah, they're definitely going to struggle.
Oh, I think they're going to go down. Teams, do you know what? I've got
a lot of teams that can go down.
If they go down, I get 25 quid. I'm like, you know, yeah, everything like that.
But, you know, well, tactics, Tim.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right, we've got to talk about them. I mean, look, we're West Ham fans here. And we don't want to make the show about West Ham. I know it's quite clear, obviously, from the opening gambit. But we've got to talk about the result. West Ham 2, Newcastle 0. Rob, we were... You actually said we weren't great, actually. I thought we were brilliant.
Were great. I thought it was... What I will say, it was wonderful to see them, that attacking, playing with width at home and really going for it. I thought that was brilliant. I did feel at 1-0 that we were riding our luck a little bit, not like Newcastle made any chances. I just thought midfield's a bit open, but
do you know what, I thought you got it right,
but because I would have played Obiang instead of the more attacking Lanzini.
Okay.
But then as soon as I started moaning about that, wasn't moaning, it was an observation when I was watching the game.
You were shouting, so
suddenly Lanzini
played swearing
a beautiful ball through to Moses and nearly scored again. And
Look, listen.
It was great to see. Dimitri Payet was wonderful too, wonderfully taking goals. Moses was superb in his debut. It's great to see West Ham attack like that against better sides. I think Obiang would need to play instead of Lanzini,
which
will happen at City.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've got no complaints at all.
Do you know what I felt? I felt that we've gone to Arsenal, and we like an away side. You invite them on, and we're picking them out. Then play at home, lose, play at home again, Bournemouth, Leicester, lose. Because we're throwing the kitchen sink at the
back. Feel at 1-0 that we were riding our luck a little bit, not like Newcastle made any chances. I just thought midfield's a bit open. But
do you know what, I thought you got it right.
But because I would have played Obiang instead of the more attacking Lanzini.
Okay.
But then as soon as I started moaning about that, wasn't moaning, it was an observation when I was watching the game.
You were shouting.
Suddenly Lanzini played
swearing
a beautiful ball through to Moses and nearly scored again. And
Look, listen.
It was great to see. Dimitri Payet was wonderful too, wonderfully taking goals. Moses was superb in his debut. It's great to see West Ham attack like that against better sides. I think Obiang would need to play instead of Lanzini,
which
will happen at City.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've got no complaints at all.
Do you know what I felt? I felt that we've gone to Arsenal, and we like an away side. You invite them on, and we're picking them out. Then play at home, lose, play at home again, Bournemouth, Leicester, lose. Because we're throwing the kitchen sink at the
back.
But all of a sudden, then we went to Liverpool, played the same tactic as Arsenal. Sit back, keep your position, and wait to break. Yeah. And it's what we did. It's what we did against Newcastle.
Well, we didn't go at them.
But we didn't go at them. You know, when that game started, we weren't at them all over the place. We sat back, we went, you play the ball, you have the ball. Well, we had a lot of possession, don't get me wrong, we had a lot of possession, but we played the right tactics. We didn't, you know, go crazy and throw ourselves forward, which I think was what caught us out. In this league, it doesn't matter who you're playing against, Norwich, Watford, anyone, they're going to catch you out. Like, if you throw defenders forward and all that, and did far too much to score a goal, because unfortunately at home, you've got that home pressure of 30,000 fans breathing down your neck going, attack the goal, we want to see a goal. Sometimes you need to think, hang on, we don't need to attack a goal right now. Let's just let them play into our hands. And I thought that's what we did against Newcastle. I think we just let them play into our hands. Well, we've got a lot of West Ham fans.
I think West Ham have got a lot of excellent options now. They can play with two wingers now.
Yeah.
They just signed Antonio and they signed Moses, and Payet can play out there, although we want to see him play in the central role.
Carroll's back.
They've got a few striking options. They've got backup at the back. Although, you know, we don't want to see Creswell get injured. I know he'll come in then. Or Bonner probably move across to the left back. But he's injured.
He's pulled a calf. Yeah. So but he's only there for 2 weeks.
There's only a couple of spaces where you're worried if there's an injury at the moment.
Yeah.
And we've got Song to come back into that side.
Yeah.
Things are looking good.
Yeah, it's good. Exciting. And obviously Newcastle, well, a bit worrying for them at the moment,
well,
isn't it?
Well, I think they've got some decent players. I think that Mitrovic is
bottom of the league, Bob. Bottom of the league. Five games. Trouble. Whatever you say, bottom of the league.
Yeah.
Five games in, two points. Not
pressure,
good.
Pressure.
Pressure's good. They've got, and this weekend, they play Watford, and a must win.
Yeah.
At St. James Park. If they don't win that match, he's in trouble. I mean, the fact they will turn on him quickly.
Well,
like West Ham fans, they'll turn you quickly.
Well, most fans these days.
Yeah, indeed. Champions League, we've got to talk about as well. A bit of a roundup. I've watched the Champions League matches, and we were going to talk about Man United in a little bit because we're going to talk about Luke Shaw, what happened. Arsenal was the key game and a big defeat. I can't put a finger on why they are so poor at these sort of games.
Wenger has played, sort of, he's made a lot of changes for that game. I know why, because they got Chelsea at the weekend.
Yeah.
That's his priority.
Yeah.
Thought he could sort of play a weakened team in Zagreb, nick a result. But, you know, and that's all right doing that. But look who's come into the side.
Yeah.
Right, he's left out his one defensive midfield player in the squad because he's only got one.
Yeah.
He hasn't bothered to buy anyone else.
Yeah.
I've got his name now, French guy, defensive midfielder.
Don't ask me that.
So they left him out the side, and they brought in Arteta, who's never been a defensive midfield player. He's weakened them, and they took a barrage, you know, the other night. Then obviously Drew's got himself sent off, and they're 1-0 down. It's game over.
I know it's a hard game, but you're playing as a team that haven't won, you know, Champions League. They're not. Arsenal have got winning these games. I mean, I've got family that went out there because it was their, you know, the win. You know, we're going to win. We're going to get a result. It'll be a great
the
day.
Squad to make
come on.
Be able to make these changes at the top level. Give it like Gibbs. Look at what he's doing every night. Gibbs, I can't handle.
But yeah, you can't stand him. I think he's very overrated. And also, but like Roy Keane said, your top side. All right, you're down 10 men. Just roll your sleeves up and win the game. Look at Bayern Munich. All right, they go to a game, absolutely just destroy a team. Get on with it. Just get on and do the job. Stop putting excuses in the way and coming out nervous and not with it. Just take the game. I mean, like, all right, I know football is a funny game.
They don't have many leaders in that side.
They ain't got a leader. They haven't got any muscle. Nothing. They've got no. Where's Vieira? Where is all right, Man City? About 40 now. But, you know, but. Lazy bastard, but where is he? You know, you need a player like that, like we have a Kuyte. You need a player going.
We slag Arsenal off every week on this show, but look, they're a really good side, but they're 2-3 players short in that squad of being able to rotate it enough to really compete in those top tournaments. But Arsene Wenger, he just refuses to make these signings that they need. It's just 2 or 3, but it's the same every year.
Yeah.
2 or 3 players, top players. And he says they're not out there, but they are, because I've seen them. I've seen them all over Europe. Like, they're out there to improve. Are you telling me, Joel Campbell came on sub the other night up front, because obviously Giroud got himself sent off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Walcott's the other striker. Joel Campbell's their third choice striker. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but are you telling me Arsenal couldn't get someone better than him in that transfer window? I've seen a lot.
I completely agree.
I'm not saying that there's a world-class one out there, but there's a handful of players that could possibly really improve them, and defensive midfield definitely. I've seen about 4 or 5 top class players at smaller clubs around Europe that could come and challenge for that position in defensive midfield. They've only got the boy, we've forgotten his name,
the French defensive midfielder. I felt great for my family when I went out there.
Coquelin, there you go. he's a good player, Coquelin.
So there's no leader, no real leader in that team, and I think it's a big problem for him. Obviously Chelsea won 4-0, great for them, touched on. And look, we're going to talk about now Man United. They lost 2-1, which I thought was a really poor result, seeing the fact they were one up, you know, and a great goal as well.
Just saw the highlights. PSV obviously always been a good side, haven't they?
You don't want to be losing. You get a draw. You want to fight for a draw. But I think they were rattled by the Luke Shaw injury, which we're going to talk about. I mean, awful, isn't it? I mean, I hate seeing things like that.
It's difficult being a Manchester United player, playing the game afterwards. I mean, a human being, you're out there just seeing your mate snap his leg in 2 places. So maybe you can excuse him with the result. But Luke Shaw, he's played so well this year.
Yeah.
I think everyone was critical of him last year. 18 years of age. Massive move to Man United. Looks overweight.
Well, he's looked the best. He's got there.
Last year,
he
looked a bit out of sorts. I thought this doesn't look like he was only left back to me.
Was it 18 when he went over, or 20 when he went over? Yeah. Something ridiculous. It was a very young lad. He's gone over there.
But this year, he has looked quality. He's looked every inch England's best left back. Which is brilliant for us because he's what's he 19 now. That's great for That's great for the up and coming European Championships, next World Cup, or for 10 years. And I just think when with an injury like that, looks like he might miss the rest of the season.
Well, he will. He'll lose, obviously, the Euros. And, I mean, he won't be back now until next season. I don't care what they say. He's not playing again this season.
I didn't think it was a bad tackle. I thought it was a brilliant run by Shaw, and the guy's got in there, and he's got the ball.
It's unlucky. It wasn't a bad challenge. I mean, Van Gaal came out and said it was an awful challenge, and it was no militia in it.
Yeah.
All right, you've got a bit of clout going to the player bit. That's football, you know. You know when you go win the ball, you do win a game. But he didn't go to hurt the player. You maybe give him a bit of a knock because you always want to give a bit of player a bit of a kick.
Well, no, I think the ball was just there to be one of a desperate challenge, wasn't it? Because Luke Shaw just burst into the penalty area, was about to score basically. The guys just made a brilliant last ditch challenge
and caught him.
And it's just one of those things. It's awful.
It's really sad. It's sad. I hate it happened to anyone,
but as an England fan, gutted for Luke.
Yeah, and obviously from us here, like, you know, we wish him all the best and stuff. Yeah. We'll quickly touch on another thing that's come up this week, we don't want to be too biased about this. Olympic Stadium, West Ham are moving to. We've been given, you know, let's go back to the square one with this story. When they designed the Olympic Stadium way back when in 2007 or whatever it was, They designed it to be an Olympic stadium purely for the Athletics.
Yeah.
That was a massive, colossal error. Yeah, by the way, I'd like to just clarify, nothing to do with West Ham at all. We weren't involved in it. Really, at that stage, if they had any brains, they went straight into the bidding process and went, right, who wants to build a football stadium and we'll use it for the Olympic Games? That would have been the way around it. Yeah. They didn't do that. They spent, you know, hundreds of millions of pounds on this stadium that's basically a bit useless. We've then, after the Olympics, then said, right, we're going to buy the stadium. We went to buy it outright, have it as our home. And that was stopped because of, again, a blocking from Tottenham.
Yeah.
And I believe Leighton Orient stopped it. No, want to investigate, da-da-da-da. And then when they finally come around to the table, it worked out, it was more viable, I believe, that they rented the stadium, keep it. And I think they worked out an option how to do it. And they said, well, because they had a legacy committee to keep this running track. That was the key to the stadium, keep it as an Olympic stadium. Great. Well, I'm all for that. West Ham and I come in, we said, OK, we're going to, here's our bid, we'll, with council investment, we'll help to modify the stadium so it can still be an Olympic stadium, still be used for athletics, but it also can be a Premier League football stadium, and also a stadium for host concerts and God knows what. Fantastic. Like, brilliant. I don't see the problem here. I don't understand why there's such uproar. They're saying that the deal is too favourable on West Ham. Well, if Man United have got a problem with it, if Chelsea have got a problem with it, why didn't they bid? Why weren't they involved in the bidding process? Weren't interested.
I think everything you said is spot on, but I think what other clubs have a problem with now, I think, is that the running costs are going to be paid by the taxpayer. I think West Ham are going to pay around about £2.5 million.
Yes, but don't forget, the running costs will be covered because you know, West Ham are going to be there throughout the course of a 365-day year, 25 days out of that. The rest of the time it's going to be used by other sporting people, events, like, for instance, the Rugby World Cup's renting it for the rugby. You've got concerts, as I've stated. You've got loads of events going on at the stadium. We're the anchor tenants because we're paying them more towards it. We're paying towards conversion works with Newham Council. So they're saying, well, you're the anchor tenants. You can make it like West Ham's ground, but you are just a rent. We just rent it. We don't own it.
I'm obviously with you on it. You know.
Yeah.
What do the taxpayer expect? What they want to happen?
You're going to get money back. They're going to get money back. Exactly. I mean, it's not a problem. At the end of the day, you've got to make money in life. You've got to spend money. The problem should be, rather than slate West Ham and go, you've got a piece of piss deal and da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, we're not happy with it, they should go back to the original design at 2007 and went, why the hell didn't they do the bidding process in 2007 before the Olympics? Who wants this stadium after the start?
We could have bid it back then. I think, again, playing devil's advocate, I think a lot of the clubs are upset that West Ham, to them, have an unfair advantage now. West Ham got a huge advantage because to be in a stadium that size, what is it, 54,000?
Is it 54?
Right. So in a stadium that size, where they're going to keep all the money for that every home game. They will sell out every home game. Don't worry about that.
Well, I'm down for a season ticket.
And only paying £2.5 million a year.
Are you going to join me for a season ticket, by the way?
I'll hopefully we'll be there, mate.
Oh, Jesus. I hope you are.
Scouting thing. I mean, I don't know where I want to be.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to be so busy. Your football world.
Yeah. The chance now to become one.
We could be celebrities by then, Rob. You know what I mean? This is obviously clearly related to stardom. This time next year, we'll be going there in a limo.
West Ham have a chance to become one of the Europe's elite clubs now if they play this right. Obviously, we know West Ham will completely fuck this up.
Obviously, it's West Ham. We won't move in. You aware we're not going to move in.
The opportunity's there, and the other clubs don't like it. Yeah. And they know it.
Well, I did a blog recently on Rugrid, and I said about exactly what you just said. I completely agree. Yeah. I think that, of course, teams like Arsenal, Man United, Chelsea, and all that, like they want another team muscling in on the top four. Like they do. And they can see that. They're going to go, this is another Man City job coming in. This is another big smaller club going to start hammering the top six clubs. And we will. Like, mark my words, we're going to hit them. I mean, as you say, West Ham, we are the worst club for these sort of things. We always somehow balls everything up.
Oh yeah, they will do. They'll do something. I mean, I was thinking they'd go down this year, but I don't think it looks likely now.
Not with our magical Dimitri Payet. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Jen. Anyway, that's our feelings on it. I think
probably need someone else who's not as biased as us to come and talk about it.
Well, we were going to speak to a chap about it, and then it was immaterialised. Unfortunately, it's not to us, not to him. But we will have a conversation, and we will talk. We will debate with a Leighton Orient fan. That'd be fun. Yeah. It's going to turn violent. I know. We've already touched on Arsenal, so we're going to go straight on to the Super Six. Now, obviously, Zach's away. in New York and doing whatever he's doing, or I believe he's gigging or something. But bless him, he still had the time to email over his predictions. We've got the normal six games. Rob's going to be a bounce between us, and obviously we'll bring out Zach. So we'll start with Zach to begin with every time.
All right, yeah.
Aston Villa, West Brom.
Derby.
The derby. And I don't rate Villa. I think they're in trouble. And I think West Brom, even though I don't like fucking Bullets and his twatty cat. But, I personally fancy a draw. Zach's gone for 1-0 here. I'm personally going to go with 0-0. I don't think there are going to be any goals in this bad boy. What are you thinking, Roberto?
Yeah. Fiery derby. I can't see a lot of goals either. I'm going to go for 1-0.
Really? 1-0? You're going to match the Zach?
Yeah.
By the way, I should actually mention, last week we missed the show. We had some other reasons we couldn't do it. But we did do our predictions.
Yeah.
So I should actually start with that. It's a bit embarrassing. But at the moment, Rob, you are leading 12 points. I'm second with 11, Zach on 8. So Zach's just like putting his face. And he seems like he's actually got some half decent scores this week, although a few away wins, which is a bit weird, but we'll wait and see what happens. So that's where we are at the moment. Rob, you're kicking this next one off.
Okay.
Zach's gone with 2-0 away win for Sunderland, who are playing Bournemouth.
So Bournemouth at home to Sunderland?
Yes. What are you thinking?
Okay.
I mean, this is a.
Saying every week I like Bournemouth. But they're always when I predict them to lose.
They weren't very good last week. No. They really weren't good. And also looked Championship.
Really don't rate Sunderland. I think they're, you know, if Defoe doesn't get them goals, they're in big trouble, I think. But I think he will get them goals overall if he stays fit.
So is that Bournemouth, though? You know, it's a bit of a relegation battle already, you know?
I'm going to have Bournemouth to win that.
Yeah?
2-1.
2-1 Bournemouth. I'm going to join you with a Bournemouth win. Zach's gone for a away win, 2-0 for Sunderland. I'm going to go with a win for Bournemouth. I'm going to go 1-0.
It's hard to predict these Premier League games at the moment.
It is. Well, I mean, the away wins thing. Everyone seems to be winning away from home. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's really bizarre. So Zach's probably got it right. Newcastle is our next game, and they're playing Watford. And we said this earlier, this is a must win for them. Got to win. Zach's gone with 1-1.
I'm going to go for a Newcastle win. 2-1.
Oh yeah, 2-1. I'm personally going to go for. Oh, can I do it? Yeah, I am. Newcastle 0, Watford 1.
Yeah.
I think it could be the killer. But
well, Watford are defending well, aren't they? As you can see him keeping the clean sheet.
And Newcastle
is Mitchell Finch back, or is he still suspended? Do we know that?
No, he's back. He's back. Yeah, right. I read that today. Yeah, okay. He is back. So I still think they're going to nick it. I don't know. You can feel it. It's a big game for them. Next game, not the most exciting one, but we're going to go over it. Stoke City, Leicester. What are you thinking, Roberto?
I think Stoke have got to turn it around at some point, and Leicester can't keep winning these games, can they? That means Stoke are right down there, aren't they? They've got a really good little squad.
Yeah.
I think they'll turn it around. I think they'll win 2-1.
2-1, yeah. Zach's gone for 2-0 on this one for Stoke. Home win. I've got a feeling it's going to be a draw. I'm going to go 2-2.
Yeah.
Next game up, Swansea, who have had a bit of a funny start to the season, versus Everton, who's suddenly now obviously got their towels up after beating.
Yeah, I'm going to have an away win from that.
Zach's gone the same. He's gone 3-1.
I'm going to go 2-1 for Everton.
Oh yeah, 2-1 Everton. Yeah,
1-2.
1-2. Do you know what? I'm going to have to go. I don't know. I'm going to go with 1-0 Everton. I still think I think now they've got, because they're a good team, Everton.
Swansea, a good side. But
yeah, they'd be good. You know, next game, we're dropping down the Championship for the last one. Hull City versus QPR. So that's gone 2-2. These are obviously the relegated teams. Yeah. Hull City have actually started quite well, actually. They're up there. And QPR. They lost at home on the midweek to Nottingham Forest. Well,
and they're just sort of. The manager needs a good start, doesn't he? Because if he's not in that, you know, in and around that top 6-7 by the end of October, whatever, he could be out.
Yeah,
I mean, definitely. I don't know what the situation is there, but that's what normally happens for teams being relegated from the Premier League. Mm. You've got to be in that top 7.
But
sharpish.
But they've got Charlie Austin playing though, and he always scores goals.
He's going to score goals. So I'm going to go for Hull to win 2-1 though. I mean, they've kept
2-1. Yeah,
they've kept a lot of players, haven't they? I know QPR have as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Hull. I'm going to go same way you're going. I think 3-1 Hull though. I think QPR are going to struggle this season down there.
Zach gone for 2-0, was he?
He's gone for 2-0.
Yeah.
So that's sort of where we are now with our predictions and really are with the show. And as you know, and next time, well, I'll tell you what, next week we've got Zach back on, so it'll be the three of us back again. Then the week after that, it'll be you and Zach, because I'm away. Oh, really? I'm going to Tenerife.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so I'm quite looking forward to it, to be honest. Quite lied to you. I'm still a bit holiday mode already. I've got a Lilo under my arm, if you know, you can't notice it, but I am. Anyway, thanks for listening and see you, Rob. And
thanks for coming.
Cheers. Take care. Cheers.